Now, with the commercial over, I'm going to start my timer because I think the last time I was up here, I hit the record for the longest service of 2015.
My wife has it.
I think I got it. So I'm going to start this. I was going to have my wife give me the stop signal if I started getting too long, but you know, she loves me. She's going to be mesmerized by every word coming out of my mouth, so she probably is never going to cut me off. I had some pretty interesting technological wizardry I was going to do, but in testing it beforehand, it didn't quite work. So you just have to use your imagination. Go along with it. So, as Pastor Wayne said, we are coming up on the 4th of July holiday. Happy birthday, America. We do live in the greatest country in the world. I know some people might think it's not so great. But in saying it's the greatest country in the world, we're not saying it's perfect. But it is better than any other place in the world. Right? Where else could we all gather here and praise the Lord? You know, get together, read the Word, and do what we do outside of America. Not very many places. So, today I thought, well, Pastor Dwayne asked me to preach on the 4th of July. I could go into a deep dissertation of the benefits of stars and stripes on the flag of the United States during the Revolutionary War and how it psychologically helped us against the British, but then I thought, nah, that's kind of, that would go way over. So I thought, I should simplify this a little bit. Let's talk about the real root of the revolution, the real root of a lot of things, freedom. I had thought to come up with some sort of fancy, you know, Madison Avenue type headline title, but that's all I could come up with. Freedom.
Freedom.
Working title, subject. And as Americans, that is a concept that resonates with us. It's what we always talk about. We have fought wars over it. We talk about the revolution. Freedom from Britain. World War II, freedom from the threat of tyranny taking over Europe. Vietnam, freedom from the communists in Southeast Asia. Korea, the same. Iraq, you know, we had a war called Iraqi Freedom, or an Operation Iraqi Freedom. We're going to free the Iraqi people from tyranny from within their own country. Our advertisers understand freedom. I see commercials all the time for things that are, you know, advertised as giving us freedom. Harley Davidson, freedom on a motorcycle. Yeah. Of course, they don't tell you that not only it's not complete freedom because now you're locked in to paying those payments for the next 5 years, right? We also talk about, we have Chase Freedom credit card. Is that credit card giving you freedom?
Yeah.
No. It gives you an aspect, you know, a belief of freedom, a false sense of freedom. Politicians pander for votes using freedom. They're going to free you from this, free you from that, free you from everything as long as you vote for them. You vote for the other guy, they can't, you know, they're not going to promise anything, but if you vote for them, they're going to promise you all the freedoms in the world. We have whole lifestyles. We cater to people with their lifestyles. Freedom. The things we allow people to do for the sake of freedom that we, and we're asked to accept it, we're asked to accept certain lifestyles because it's their freedom to do this, to do that, to do the other. Think about movies. How many of you guys like watching movies? How many of you have ever seen Amistad?
Yes.
Amistad, the story of a slave ship that there was a mutiny on. And in New England, they brought all these slaves that had mutinied on that slave ship to trial. And the big punchline in the movie was, I don't remember the guy's
free.
Name. Huh?
Give us free.
Give us free! And he just kept screaming. It was, you know, the big charge-up point in the movie. Another movie, and I actually watched this one not too long ago on like one of the classic movie channels. It was the story of Patrick Henry. And what's his big famous line? Give me liberty or give me death. Again, the big punchline of that movie. And who could forget Braveheart? I was going to ask Sean to dress up as Braveheart. His kilt was in the wash, but he had the blue paint. And let me get the quote exactly right here. Tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom. I watched a series on the History Channel just recently, Barbarians Rising, all about the barbarians and their fight against Rome. And every single time they went to the experts to talk about what was going on, it's about freedom. These guys are fighting against freedom from the Romans, freedom from the Romans, freedom from the Romans. We focus so much on freedom. Our society focuses so much on freedom. Sometimes we go way on the ditch on one side with freedom, and sometimes we go way on the ditch on the other side. But freedom isn't just a cultural view. It's not a cultural thing only. Freedom's mentioned in the Bible. Surprise, surprise. Freedom is mentioned in, let's say, John 8:32, the truth will set you free. We've all heard that. We've heard that since, you know, children's church. We also heard in Galatians 5:1 that it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. I think Pastor Dwayne even mentioned that one earlier. But how is that opposed to our cultural version of freedom? Our cultural version of freedom is having choices. You can go here, you can go there, you can live in this state, you can live in that state, you can drive this kind of car, you can drive that kind of car. It's a lack of coercion and constraint. You can't tell me what to do. How many times have you heard this? It's a free country, isn't it? What about the freedom of speech? I can say whatever I want. Our freedom, our idea of freedom in this country and culturally is no one can tell you what to do. Free country. No one can stop you from doing something. You can do whatever you want. No one can stop you. And if they try to stop you, they're looked down upon. Technically, right now, I have the freedom to go home tonight and declare myself a woman. And not a single one of you can tell me I'm not. Not a single one of you guys can discriminate me against me because of it. I have that freedom. I have the freedom to my wife's going to appreciate this. I have the freedom to go to the barber and have him cut lines in my hair like I'm 20 years old. Even though I'm 45. Now, we all have to live with the consequences of the free things we do, right? But the biblical version of freedom isn't quite the same.
Yes.
The biblical version of freedom tells us that our freedom is in trusting and obeying God. Our freedom isn't in being able to do willy-nilly what we want to do. Our freedom is in being a servant, being a bondsman, or woman, to God. To go back to some of our early church leader, Augustine, whatever his name is, he taught that true freedom is being what you are meant to be. Am I meant to be a woman? No, I'm free to be one if I want. Am I free to, you know, am I legally free to leave my wife and move to another state and find my muse? Legally, I can. Is that what God wants me to do? No. Is it the right thing to do? Augustine said that humans are created in the image of God. We all agree on that. He said, true freedom is found in living out your true purpose. So in order to live out your true purpose, you have to do what God has set you on earth to do. You have to find His will for your life. Be obedient to that will. A train, the true purpose of a train is to run on the tracks, to get people to and from, to get goods to and from. But is it free? Is a train free? No, it's stuck on the tracks. It has a direction. It has a path. If a train jumped the tracks, what good is it? It's not doing what God put it, or its inventors, its creators, put it here to do. It's not able to move goods. It's not able to move people. So the same thing can be said, you know, a few of us, I know for a fact, served in the military. When I was in basic training, there was lots of things that I was free to do. Drill sergeant wasn't exactly pleased with a lot, you know, with your decision if you decided to go and do free things. But why is that? It wasn't because he was some sadistic nut that liked yelling at young kids. Or maybe it was, I don't know. It was because they're trying to train you for a real life situation. For a situation where you have to rely on your training, where you have to rely on your instincts, which have been honed through diligence and through just hard work and repetition. You know, making a bet 60 times in 2 hours, in my mind, was crazy. But when you put it in the scope of further along, the discipline to come in and repetitively do something till you have it perfect, so you can do it without having to think about it. Because when you're out, you know, I don't think any of us that were in the service were in actual war, unless somebody I don't know was. But if you were there, you want to rely on your instincts that have been honed through repetition, through training, through discipline, in order to be in the right place at the right time. You don't want to go off and do free things because that would get you and your friends killed. So, back to Augustine, he said the closer we conform to the true image of God, Jesus Christ, the freer we become. The further we drift from it, the more our freedom shrinks. So in his belief, in his understanding of the word, the closer we came to what God intended us to do, the closer we came to his image, the closer we were, or the freer we were. Martin Luther also had some statements on freedom. In his writing on Christian liberty, he said, a Christian man is the most free lord of all and subject to none. That almost sounds like he's saying we're just free, right? No one, you're not. No one's the boss of me. How many of you heard a little kid say that? You're not the boss of me! Heard that a lot in my house. But he also said in the next statement, a Christian man is the most dutiful servant of all and subject to everyone. Nowhere in the Bible, at least in my research, does it ever talk about freedom without also attaching an obedience to the Lord or servitude to others. Nowhere. Does it just say, you're free, do what you want to do. There's a contingency with everything. John Howard Yoder, who was a 20th century theologian who, to be honest with you, I never heard of him before, but what he wrote kind of resonated with me. It said, true freedom is found in not insisting on one's own rights, but in freely giving them up by being a servant to Jesus Christ first and the people of God second. So again, I'm not sure who John Howard Yoder is, but at least that little bit of writing, spot on. So, if we're looking at freedom from a biblical point of view compared to our cultural point of view, they're almost in stark contrast to one another. They're almost diametrically opposed. Can we not have both? Can we not have both cultural freedom and spiritual freedom? I would argue we can have both. I would argue that they're not diametrically opposed. That we can still be masters of our own domain here on earth as long as we're focusing on God and submitted to God here. We cannot be locked up in chains here on earth while we're still a servant and a bondsman to God. So here in America, we hold to these views of individualism and liberty, self-assertion, insisting on your own rights. How many times on the news lately have we seen protesters? They're always talking about their rights. They're always talking about somebody else's rights. Every single one of them has a list of rights, as long as my arms, that they feel like they're being withheld from, or that we should allow them new things we should allow them to do. Do we ever hear these protesters talk about the things they are responsible for? I never hear it. It's always what I need, what I should get, not what should I do. How can I serve? How can I help? We're always talking about throwing off constraints, freeing people. You know, free love, free Willy, I don't know, everything else. You know, we can't hold dolphins in zoos anymore. I don't know. But we're always talking about freedom, you know, throwing off constraints. Last I heard, there's nobody in this country that is constrained, and I might be wrong, there probably are people that we don't know about, but in general, there's no longer slaves in this country, and if it is, it's not endorsed by our country. I hear people talking about prisoners being slaves, being incarcerated as being slavery, but again, there's a slight difference between being taken or born into captivity and being punished for wrongdoings. A complete and total difference. You know, I'm sure some of you guys had teenagers. They hit 14, 15, a little older, and they want to break off the shackles of parenthood. You can't tell me what to do, I'm almost grown. Or even when they are grown, you can't tell me what to do, I'm grown. I'm not telling you what to do. I'm just telling you, don't do it in my house. We're always talking about how we don't want to be held down. There's studies out now that talk about how much of a hard time young people are coming into the workforce. Yeah. Because we've baited them, for lack of a better term. We've baited them all through high school, all through college. You know, well, I need the safe place, and I need this, and I need that, and I shouldn't be expected to do this, and I shouldn't be expected to do that. And then when you get into, you know, school's not real life. Kids, everybody here in school, school's not real life. When you get in real life, your boss doesn't care about your safe place. He cares about that green stuff that you're supposed to be making. So they have a hard time because we baby them so much because we're always talking about their freedoms, what they're allowed to do, what we need to do for them, what they should expect, and we never talk about what their responsibilities are, to learn their jobs, to do hard work, to get to work on time. We have interns at work, and during the school year, they show up after school. I think they go to school half days and they show up probably about 1 o'clock to the office. But in the summers, they have to be there right when the doors open like we do. And boy, I watch them drive. I get in a little early. Typically, you know, I take Andrew into school so I get to work a little early, and I'm sitting there watching when they come dragging in. Oh. And you ask, well, how you doing? Oh, this is so early. So early. Saw one of them. he hasn't even learned the trick of sleeping at his desk with his eyes open. That's advanced cubicle living there. I've learned that one. Oh, I got a snort out of somebody. So, we also value creating ourselves. I'm going to make a new me. I'm going to find myself. The funny thing about it is, when people typically go out to find themselves, they don't find themselves. They find an image that they think is supposed to be themselves. Because you don't go off to find yourself. You get in the Word of God. You get in prayer. That's where you find yourself. The Bible has it laid out. The Bible's a good guide. You know, everybody's got a chicken soup for this, and a dummy's guide to that, and an idiot's guide to this. But the Bible, it gets all of them. All of them rolled in together. So, some scriptural references to the real, true biblical freedom. If you could turn to Genesis 2:16, I think I got it in the New King James. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree in the garden, you may eat freely. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat. For in the day you eat that, you shall surely die." So just like I was saying earlier, freedom, stipulation. Freedom, obedience. Right out the gate. We're only 2 chapters into the book. We're conditioned through our society to want autonomy. Not to let anybody tell us what to do. But in that, you know, one of the earliest stories in the Bible, we're shown that true freedom, I mean, Adam and Eve had the run of the world. The run of the world. There was one rule.
Yeah.
One rule. And they couldn't do it. They couldn't do it. If God came to you today and said, "You know what? You have the complete run of the earth. You just can't eat that chocolate cake." It'd be tough. It'd be tough. But I think I'd rather have the run of the world and complete and total relationship with God, and I could give up the chocolate cake.
Amen.
I hope so. I hope all you two could too. Also, again in the Old Testament, how many times did Israel decide, let's do it our own way?
Yeah.
God's chosen people. God promised to protect them. All he wanted them to do was to stay loyal to him. Stay obedient to him and what they do. You know what? These guys over here got a cool idol. I think we'll cheer on their idol. We'll join their team for a little while. And what happens? They find themselves in bondage.
Yep.
They find themselves wandering around in the wilderness. They find themselves in trouble. And a few chapters later, maybe a book later, they get right back. They get back. And sure enough, they're on the straight and narrow. They got God on their side. And what do they do again? "Oh, well, these people do it a certain way. I think we like to do it that way. God told you to do it this way." But these people do it that way. Go ahead. God's not forcing them to stop, is he? He doesn't force you to obey him. That's the freedom. You have the freedom to obey him. You have the freedom to serve. We're not forcing you. God's not forcing you. When I'm talking about the obedience and servitude, I'm not talking a cult-like thing. I'm not talking about, you know, you obey, don't question, don't research, just do what we say. There's places out there like this. Sean and I went to a church in Omaha where where the pastor's wife tried to get us to turn over our checkbook to them. Because we needed to obey the scriptures and be good stewards. That's not freedom. That's bondage. Yeah, and you know, maybe she would have handled our finances just well. She probably would have handled them better than we were at the time. But I'm an American. I'm not giving you my checkbook. We got to talk about this. But eventually, you know, Israel bounced back and forth and back and forth in obedience and bondage. It's better to be in bondage to man or bondage to the Lord. So even in the New Testament, Jesus talked about freedom a lot as well. Matthew 16, 24 through 26 in the Message. There we go. All right. Then Jesus went to work on his disciples. Anyone who intends to come with me has to let me leave. Do you intend to come with Jesus? Then you have to let him lead. Again, contrary to our cultural idea of freedom, I'm in charge. I'm going to do what I want to do. Get behind me. But the Bible says, and Jesus says, if you want to be with him, you got to let him lead. You are not in the driver's seat. When I get in a car with other people, I want to be driving. I want to have control. If I'm going to run headlong into a Mack truck, I want to be the one pushing the gas. I can't idly sit by and have something happen and I can't do nothing about it. It's part of my psyche. It's part of my makeup. I can do that with, you know, my kids driving or my wife driving. I can't do that with God. He's in the driver's seat. I have to trust he's not going to drive me headlong into a Mack truck. I am. Don't run from suffering, embrace it. Follow me and I'll show you how. Self-help is no help at all. I am the king of self-help. I don't like going to doctors. I don't like asking for directions. I don't like asking for help. That little advertisement I did up here at the beginning, asking for help for the AV, was tough for me because I like to do everything myself. But God's saying, Jesus is saying, self-help is no help at all. Doing things on your own, being the boss, is not necessarily a good thing. Self-sacrifice is the way, his way, to find yourself, your true self. Again, back to what Augustine was saying, that true freedom is operating in the will of God and doing what you were meant to do. What kind of deal is it to get everything you want but lose yourself? What could you ever trade your soul for? Certainly not chocolate cake, as much as I love it. Matthew 20, 26 through 27 in the Living Bible. But among you, it is quite different. Anyone wanting to be leader among you must be your servant. And if you want to be right at the top, you must serve like a slave. Again, obedience, self-sacrifice, freedom in serving, freedom in obeying. 1 Corinthians 9:19. For since I am free From all, I can make myself a slave to all in order to gain even more people. So what Paul is saying is he's free. No one can tell him what to do. But he chooses to make himself a slave. He chooses to make himself a servant of God for the express purpose of gaining more souls for the kingdom, which really should be all our goal.
Amen.
That's what we're here for. More souls in the pew may be great, but more importantly is souls in the kingdom. And if I have to take a step back from being the larger-than-life glorious person I am in order to step back and be obedient and subservient to God in order to fill heaven with souls, then so be it. I have to be adult enough and I have to be man enough to do that. All right. 2 Corinthians 3:17. Well, these last two have been in the New English Translation, if you're following at home. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Again, tying back into the closer you get to God, the closer you get to conforming to what He wants you to be, the more free you are. You're not being hamstrung. You're not being handcuffed. You are being set free. Because you're being closer to Him. Because you have conformed to what He is. I know when I was in school playing football, there's 11 guys on the field. And at times, you can get those 11 guys to work as a well-oiled machine. Each one of those guys has a job to do. And if each one of those guys perform their job, it is highly unlikely that the ball will win. But when you get one guy that has the freedom to do what he wants, maybe he has the freedom to loop around the outside, but they run right where he was. And they gash you for a touchdown. That's like the train example. Does that freedom help you? If by doing your own thing, and by doing what you want, you harm the people around you, or you make things worse for you? A lot of us have pets. I say us, I don't have a pet, but a lot of you have pets. Isn't freedom for that pet to let it run around in the street? Free Willy? Free Spot? Free Fluffy. You know, if you got a fish, put it right down in the river. Freedom. But you put that little guppy you got in that bowl on your table in the river, and one of them big old carp or walleye, or I'm not a fisherman, pike just come and get it. What good did it do that fish? It was free for about that long. You let Fluffy go, she might be free till she tries to get across that street. Freedom isn't doing everything just as you want. There's a rhyme, a reason to everything that's on this earth. God has put this earth in order. And the closer we stay to His order, the freer we are truly. All right. Galatians 5:13. For you are called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity to indulge your flesh, but to love, serve one another. But through love, serve one another. Again, you're free. Do whatever you want. But the best thing to do is through love to serve one another, not to serve yourself. We're all free to serve ourselves. But it's not God's plan. It's not what God wants. Romans 6:22. But now you are free from the power of sin and are slaves of God. We're free, but a stipulation. Just like in the Garden of Eden, eat whatever you want, don't eat this. You're free, but now you're a servant. Always a stipulation. And his benefits to you include holiness and everlasting life. Is holiness and everlasting life worth not always being in charge? Is it worth not always calling your own shots? Is it realistic to think you're always going to call your own shots? How many of you guys have a job where you get to do whatever the heck you want to do whenever you want to do it? Show up whenever you want. Do whatever you want. Maybe if you owned your own business, you could. But even then, whether it's successful or not, based on the choices you make, is another story altogether. I know Sean does whatever he wants all the time. Jane usually elbows the name. Think about an actor. You're on the movie set, and you're doing this, you know, highly dramatized version of, let's say, Hamlet. And the guy playing Hamlet all of a sudden goes against the script and starts breaking into some song he heard on Hee Haw when he was 12. He's a picking and he's a grinning. The guy who wrote the movie isn't happy. The producer isn't happy. The director isn't happy. All his other co-stars aren't happy. He had freedom. Sometimes they give these guys freedom to ad-lib. But he had to stay within a prescribed purpose. You can't ad-lib from Hamlet to Hee Haw. Just doesn't work. So I think we might want to pitch that idea. Country Hamlet. We have to stay focused. We have to stay obedient. We have to stay within the lanes that have been prescribed for us, whatever those are. We can't be so focused on freedom. Again, as we celebrate our freedom from Great Britain back in 1776, we can't be so focused on our freedom. We can't be so focused on not wanting anybody to control you. And you can't be so focused on doing whatever you want. You can't be so focused on, because it feels good, I'm going to do it. Yes, we have the freedom to do all these things. But it's not what God intends for us. It's not the best God has for us. So I think I'm going to try to wrap it up. We'll see how that goes. True freedom is the freedom of obedience to Christ and the conformity to his image. It's a gift that God has given us. The freedom to make a choice to follow him.
Yes.
Christianity isn't like Islam. We're not going to come to your town and put a sword to your neck and tell you to convert or die. We're not going to come after you if you decide you don't want to stay with us. Our gift from God is a free choice. But as part of that free choice is the decision, the conscious decision to follow him, to become a servant to God, not to go your own way. It's a gift of his grace, and we'll fully enjoy the heavenly glorification that we get from it. I'd like to close with Romans 7, 4 through 6. I have in the English Standard Version. Likewise, my brothers, you have also died to the law through the body of Christ, so that you may belong to another. You've died to yourself Because as free human beings in this country, we belong to ourselves unless we purposely give up that ownership of ourselves. And so when you take Christ into your life, when you commit yourself to Him, when you become a bondservant to Christ, you die to yourself and you give up ownership of yourself to Him. But the good thing is, unlike slavery in the past and even presently in other places, you've given up ownership of yourself to a good God. You've given up ownership of yourself to a God that has been raised from the dead so that you can bear fruit for God. As it continues here, you belong to another, to Him who has been raised from the dead in order that we may bear fruit for God. You're not bearing fruit for a man. You're not bearing fruit for anyone else. You are bearing fruit for God. You've become a servant. You've been owned by God, but for good purposes. He's a good master. For while we were living in the flesh, our sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit for death. So when we're focusing on being the leaders of our own lives, not submitting ourselves to God, when we're being driven by our flesh and the desires of our flesh, we're being drawn into bearing bad fruit. A lot of us, I know, I was going to tell a lie. I was going to say that before I became saved, I used to try to be a good guy. I used to try to do good things, but I really didn't. I was a piece of work. But there's a lot of people out there who live good lives. They do good things. But they're not being driven. They're not being submitted to. They're not being guided by God. So what we call good in our culture, what we call freedom in our culture, is not true freedom. It may not even be good. We only understand goodness, we only understand righteousness, we only understand freedom once we're submitted to God. But now we are released from the law, having died to that which held us captive, so that we serve in a new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code. I might be getting this wrong, but I'm pretty sure it was Bob Dylan that sung a song called "You Gotta Serve Somebody." So if you're not serving God, you may think you're serving yourself. You may think you're guiding yourself. You may think you're self-determined. But you gotta serve somebody. Nobody on this earth only serves themselves. You're either serving God or you're serving the devil. You may not be readily apparent, but if you're not serving God, you are a servant to somebody. You may think you're free to do drugs, but once those drugs get a hold of you, are you really free? Maybe, but I doubt it. If you can't, I've seen these commercials where a teenage girl will go up to get cigarettes at the counter, and you know, she's shaking and shuddering, and they portray it as she can't possibly make a good choice without giving up something important, an arm and a leg in this case, for these cigarettes. She's so stuck and so hung up on these things that she pops off her arm to give up her arm, pops off her leg to give up her leg to pay for these cigarettes because it has control over. She is serving that. Some of us in ungodly relationships, do you sacrifice obedience to God in order to be with this guy or girl that you want to be with? I have in the past. Thank God I don't now. Because I'm pretty sure my wife and I are meant to be together. Otherwise, we've been making a long, long mistake. But we have to understand that only through God, only through true obedience to God, only through being closer to what He intends you to be, only through following His guide, following the Word of God, following the Bible, using the Idiot's Guide to a Christian Life that comes in the Holy Bible, are we able to be truly free. And again, it's not not blind faith. It's not a cult. We're not asking you to not question, to not research in the Bible, to understand, not to pray to God. You know, I know there's some denominations where they teach people that the priests are the conduit to God. You don't really talk to God. You talk to the priest talks to God, he'll talk back to you. That's not what we're telling you. Talk to God yourself. Meditate on His Word. Read His Word. Understand what He has in store for you. Submit yourself to that. This way you have freedom that is a true freedom. Freedom from the consequences of your sins, of sins. Because if you're truly tied in with God, your chances of sinning are a little less, right? If you're really, really operating on what God wants you to do, all your consequences be consequences of good fruit, not of sin. Again, what are we willing to do? What are we willing to give up as Americans? Red-blooded, freedom-loving Americans. Are we willing to give up that freedom? Our perceived cultural freedom, are we willing to give that up to achieve true freedom through obedience to God? I know I am. I hope you guys are. I think that's all I have. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You right now. We thank You for this country. We thank You for the freedoms that we have in this country, the ability to come together, to worship You, to study Your Word, the ability to stand out boldly and proclaim Your Word without any repercussions like there are in so many other countries. The Lord, I also ask that if it ever did get to that point where we would be persecuted here, Lord, that we would continue to have the boldness to stand up for Your Word, that we continue to be Your servants and not let fear of repercussion or fear of harassment keep us from being Yours and being outwardly Yours. We thank You for this place that we've been given to worship in. We thank You for this body. We thank You that all of us are willing to put aside our own earthly and fleshly freedoms, Lord, to follow You. And that through following You, we'll bring as many people into Your kingdom as we can. And as we go on tonight, Lord, we ask You to bless this church, to bless the pastors, to bless the members. In Jesus' name, amen.